The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
How can the human spirit and the Holy Spirit be distinguished in the Bible? Well, that's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. Currently, we're taking questions from listeners just like you. If you've got a question you'd like answered, you can send us an email, radio@faithalone.org. Well, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, Sean Lazar. I'm Bob Wilkin.
And we'd like to send a special shout out to someone. Who should we send us out? How about Bill Baird, our friend Bill Baird?
Yes, Bill Baird would be a good one.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
He lives over in Shreveport, doesn't he?
But he might be immigrating to Texas soon, I think.
Are we in another country now?
One day. All right. Are you ready for some questions?
I'm ready.
Today was kind of hard to get a good question because I have a pile of questions, but some of these are like multiple pages, and it's just hard to read 800 words and figure out what the question is.
So yeah, just a word to the wise. When you're sending in a question, make sure your question is concise if you want it to be read on the air, because concise questions are much easier to understand than, you know, there's a long, convoluted buildup, and then even the question itself is kind of hidden, right?
Yeah, usually I have to paraphrase the question, but if you can just send us to radio@faithalone.org, you know, just a few sentences, maybe three or four sentences, make it to the point, you'll have a much better chance of getting an answer from us.
Well, like, there's a question there about the Spirit, right? That's real simple.
Yeah, so the question is, let's say in a verse.
It's not actually stated as a question.
No, this one's not a good.
It's stated as a comment.
Yeah, this one's not a good
example. But you can change it into a question.
But we'll change. For this one, this is from Bill, and this one we'll do the hard work for you, and we will change this into a question. But for you, the listener, send me a question, a one-sentence question that I can answer. You know, we know what you're asking, and we can answer it. So here's a statement, really, but I'll try to reword it as a question from Bill. Every translation of Matthew 26:41 puts it like this: watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit, small s, indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. But Bill says, I believe it should be translated, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit, capital S, indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So I guess the question is, how can you tell when something refers to the spirit, like, you know,
is
our
spirit,
the human spirit, as opposed to the Holy Spirit?
Okay, great question. And let me say, I first came across this when I was at Dallas Seminary. And you're familiar with Sean, Ephesians 5:18, do not get drunk with wine,
right,
wherein is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit.
Yeah.
Well, is that capital S or little s?
Yeah, interesting.
Well, when I was at Dallas Seminary, I learned that there was a thesis written, I believe it was Tim Crater, arguing that was the human spirit.
Be filled with your human spirit?
No, be filled in your human spirit, because the preposition there can be translated in, with, by, or among.
Be filled in your human. And what would that mean? Be filled with what?
Well, I can't recall what Crater's view was, but I think in the context, because it goes on to say singing and making melody in your hearts, and it's corporate,
yeah,
is that this would be filled with joy as a result of corporate worship.
Huh, okay.
And so you're filled up in terms of being
emotions?
Joyful. Well, you're
be
filled,
emotional.
It's not just emotions. It's you're filled up with the goodness of God as a result of the assembly. You're in the assembly. Well, but the normal way of understanding is that don't get drunk with wine. That's an external control. But be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Be filled with the Spirit. Well, the same thing applies here. Why don't you read? I guess we should go into the context, because this isn't just some verse where Jesus is out in the fields and he's teaching 5,000 people. This is a special context. Where is Jesus when he's saying this?
Yeah, he's in Gethsemane.
And how many people is he talking to?
Peter and two other guys.
Yeah,
the sons of
James and John.
James and John.
Yeah. So he's only talking to three people. And what had they just done?
Were they just sleeping?
I forget. They were sleeping on the job.
Yeah.
He says, I want you to pray with me. I'm going aside here a little bit. I'm going to pray to the Father, but you pray for me and with me. And while he's off praying, What do they do but they fall asleep?
Right. Where is that? Oh, verse 40. Then he came to his disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak."
And it happened again a second.
Right. And so Bill's question is this the Holy Spirit is willing to pray, or is it the human spirit being willing to pray?
Well, I think his point would be, and I'm not sure here, but I think his point is the Spirit is willing for us to watch and pray, but our flesh is weak. Mm-hmm. And so as a result, we need to rely on the Holy Spirit in order to be able to do what God wants us to do. Something like that. Okay. He didn't explain himself.
Yeah, but he thinks it should be the Holy Spirit.
Right. But the bigger question is, could it be either? And the answer is yes. Because a lot of people don't realize it, but the original Greek manuscripts that were copied were all capital letters. They're called uncials. And so you really wouldn't have a way of knowing whether this was Spirit capital S or Spirit lowercase s.
Yeah.
So as a result, that's a decision the translators make.
Okay.
But the reason why I think it's clear here that this is Spirit lowercase s is because obviously Peter, James, and John were willing to do what Jesus had asked them to do.
Why is that obvious?
Well, because they love him. Peter has already said, "I'm ready," earlier in the night. He said, "I'm ready to die with you."
Uh-huh.
And Jesus says, "No, you're going to deny me 3 times.
Yeah.
Well, again, the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. I mean, the problem wasn't that Peter didn't mean that.
Okay.
You remember earlier, I believe, when he said we're going to Jerusalem, and I think it was Thomas who said, "Well, let's go die with him."
Mm-hmm.
Because he believed that Jesus was going to be put to death by the Jews and that they would be martyred as well. And so the disciples were willing, but their flesh was weak. They were tired. They were very tired.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you've had it. Have you ever been where your head's just nodding off like one of those birds in the water?
That's,
you know,
me right now.
I used to have, when I was in college, this is no joke, I'd be driving on the freeway and my head would be falling off,
man.
And I'd hit those dots. They're called Bott's dots.
Oh.
And they'd wake me up, and I'd come up, and so I'd bite my lip or something, or I'd turn on the radio louder. I'd put the window all the way down.
Sure.
But I used to fall asleep, I mean, while I was driving.
This is not a good confession to make.
I'm sorry.
This is very dangerous. That's a dangerous behavior.
Don't do this.
You don't do that anymore, do you?
No.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I would take the bus every day, you know, Montreal I'd spend hours every day on the bus, and sometimes I'd fall asleep. And if you fall asleep and you miss your stop and you end up in a different part of the city, that's bad business.
Uh-oh.
I did that more than once.
Really?
Oh, yeah. On the metro or something, you fall asleep, you miss your stop.
And you wake up
and you're at the end of the line and you're like, oh, no.
Somebody's taking things out of your pocket.
Like, I never ended up in a different country. It was just a different part of the city, but still.
We did that once.
But yeah, my flesh was weak for sure.
So I think here it's fairly obvious that they were willing to do what the Lord Jesus wanted. In fact, they wanted to do what Jesus told them. But Bill could be right. Maybe he's saying the Holy Spirit's ready to help you, but your flesh is weak and you need to rely on the Spirit. But I don't see anything here about relying. The issue was that they had the wrong sense of reliance. I think the issue here is they need to realize that there's going to come a time, and of course it does relate to what Bill's talking about.
Right.
When the Spirit is given at Pentecost and they become permanently indwelt with the Spirit, they're now going to have more ability to obey God, more ability to please God. It's not that they didn't have it. Jesus had said in the upper room, the Spirit has been with you, but he will be in you.
Yeah.
And so the Spirit was with them. I remember when they went out and the 70 went out and they rejoiced the demons were subject to them.
Sure.
They did miracles. I mean, they, you know, healed the sick. They cast out demons. But yet, this was a kind of a temporary enablement.
Right. I wonder, you know, I'm just wondering, is there any passage that says that they were able to do that by the Holy Spirit, like specifically, like the Spirit is given
them?
Not
to my knowledge.
I guess that's just something that we assume, you know, from other things. But I can't think of a verse that says it. Maybe there is one.
Well, Jesus obviously gave them the authority. We're told
they had authority. They had power.
From him. Yeah. And the question is, was this his spirit that's empowering them or the Holy Spirit that's empowering them?
Or what is empowering them? I don't know. Is it that's a kind of interesting question. I don't know what the answer is. One of the things Bill says is he thinks this is the Holy Spirit because of the definite article. But what do you think about that argument?
Because it says the Spirit is willing.
Yeah, and he gives kind of a list of other passages where when there's a definite article, it almost always seems to be the Holy Spirit being referred to, in his opinion.
Well, that's a good argument. One of the ways you study these sorts of things is comparing with other uses of the same expression. So you would look at other uses of the Spirit. But of course, even if, let's say every other use of the expression the Spirit with a definite article clearly refer to the Holy Spirit, that still wouldn't settle the case here.
Right, because there can always be an exception.
Right.
You know, when you only have like a dozen cases, that's not enough to form a permanent rule.
Right. You know? And even if you had a lot, there's always exceptions. Not always, but mostly there's exceptions.
And why wouldn't you use an article for the human spirit? It would still be the human spirit. I mean, even in English, we say, you know, the human spirit or the Holy Spirit.
Well, not only that, a lot of the passages that we're going to cite are not so I mean, like Ephesians 5:18, I think it is obvious that's the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
But an intelligent person can write a thesis at Dallas Seminary arguing that's the human spirit.
Right. So it is a tricky question. So what should a person do when you're faced with two equally plausible options and it's just hard?
I think you do what you always need to do, and that is you pray about it and you search the scriptures. What I like that Bill did is he was searching the scriptures, looking at other passages using the same expression. But the kicker for me is the context. And the context here sure looks like he's saying they're willing in the inner man, their spirit, but their flesh is weak.
All right. Thanks, Bob. If you have any questions about the Spirit versus the Holy Spirit and what the human spirit is and all that kind of interesting stuff, you know where to send your concise 2 or 3 sentence question to radio@faithalone.org.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to explore more of the topics that we talk about on this show and don't know where to do it? Well, I'm going to tell you where. It's at faithalone.org. That's our website, faithalone.org. On the site, we have all kinds of free resources that are designed to help you grow and mature in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. For example, we have this beautifully laid out full-color magazine that you can get a free subscription. Just go to faithalone.org and sign up on the site. Would you like to become a financial partner with this show? Well, if so, you can find out how to do that on faithalone.org. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated because it's how we stay on the air. By the way, we love to hear from our listeners. Maybe you've got a comment, feedback, or even a question. If you do, I'll give you our email address so that you can reach out to us. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On tomorrow's program, we're going to discuss the pre-trib rapture of the saints. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.